Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's new book, Paperboy. To order today, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on store.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald and the Spectator.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Here's the millennial with the mic, Grace Curley.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. I'm still laughing at Stephanie Ruhl on MSNBC. She's filling us in on the fact that Russia and the Saudis are conspiring with Donald J. Trump to keep gas prices high so that Trump can win the election, even though from what I've seen, it seems like Russia is pretty pleased with Joe Biden's job thus far. And, you know, the whole minor incursion thing. And really nothing about this conspiracy makes sense. But that's the cool thing about Trump, is that if you want to concoct a wild theory, you don't have to have any of that pesky evidence behind it.
Everybody's always blaming me for everything.
I just hope for the sequel. Like, I hope for the second time around, if Trump wins in November, fingers crossed, we got to keep the cannibal man out. If Trump wins in November and they rehash this, and I hate to ask for too much, but if there's going to be a sequel of all this crap, I just hope this time they make it a little bit more interesting. You know, you can bring back something, Jared, you can do a reboot, but you've got to bring the heat. You've got to get some good creative minds on this. If it's like the Russian hookers peeing on Trump in a hotel room, and there needs to be more. And you know what? They need to hold themselves to a higher standard. Because I think back in the day with the Steele dossier, with Hillary Clinton, with Elias, with all this stuff, I don't think they ever thought that there was going to be as much pushback. I think they thought the American people were going to just take this hook, line, and sinker. And to be fair, some people in the media did, and they were handsomely rewarded for it with Pulitzer Prizes and podcasts and book deals and all sorts of things. But I don't think that they imagined there would be actual journalists and actual internet sleuths who were able to debunk all of this BS right away. And over the course of the two and a half years that this played out and this, you know, loomed over Trump's presidency. But if we're going to do this again, of like the Trumps conspiring with the Russians and Michael Cohen and Prague and passports and all this stuff, I would encourage Stephanie Ruhl and the rest of the nut jobs at MSNBC, Joy Reid, Rachel Maddow, everyone who partook in the original, to just do your homework this time.
I'm yelling at the clouds.
You know, if you're going to make stuff up, make it interesting. Make it a little bit believable. Make it stick. That's just my two cents for all of you. I know you won't take it. Speaking of MSNBC, you know what's out there right now, Jared? Which I'm just throwing this at you, so I don't expect it right away. I guess Joe Scarborough called Donald Trump an animal. Now, I have been told that referring to people, even if they're murderers who bash girls' skulls in while they're going for a run at the University of Georgia, I have been told that referring to anyone as an animal is racist and despicable and hateful and violent. But I guess if you're referring to Donald Trump as an animal, it's okay. And actually, speaking of that, Joe Biden's own staffers, according to Politico, refer to Trump as Hitler pig. So really, you can call Trump whatever you can fat shame him, you can call him an animal, and that's okay. But if you try to call the guy who murdered Lincoln Riley an animal, you're going to have a problem. If you're a student and you try to just label someone as an illegal alien, you might get suspended. Just, I'm constantly reminding you guys of the rules because they get increasingly hard to follow as each day passes. All right, now let's talk a little bit about the anti-Semitism we're seeing all over these college campuses. And right now, police are detaining protesters. What did Jake Novak tell us? He said, stop calling them protesters, call them urban terrorists, because that's what they're doing. Well, they're at Columbia University right now, and I think that we should play this again. These were protesters near Columbia University. I'm not sure if they have any affiliation with the school. They just happen to be nearby. You can make your own bets about that. But here's what one of the protesters was saying. Cut 11, please. We are Hamas!
You're Hamas, wow. You're what? You're Hamas?
Yes, we're all Hamas, I'm sure that even members of the squad, because they're getting asked about this, like Rashida Tlaib was asked about people, you know, cheering on Hamas, people saying death to America and Dearborn. And she didn't respond, not because she doesn't condemn it, I'm sure, but because she doesn't want to interact with Hillary Vaughn from Fox. But I'm sure even members of the squad at this point, even Ilhan Omar, whose daughter just got kicked out of her school, Barnard University. Am I pronouncing that right? It feels weird. Barnard University. She got kicked out for her anti-Semitism, suspended. And I'm sure that even the squad members are looking at these protesters and going, yeah, no, it's great that you are Hamas. We're Hamas too. We represent, we promote Hamas's propaganda. We support Hamas. However, you can't say it so openly. Like, you know what, Jared? I bet Ilhan Omar is looking at these protesters going, they need to learn the art of subtlety like me. They need to learn how to hide their anti-Semitism in a way where Nancy Pelosi could still, in theory, defend you to the masses. When you say we are Hamas, it kind of takes away the mystery, you know? You're not leaving a lot of room to get out of it. So this is what's happening all over the country. And these are the voters that Joe Biden is going around trying, you know, door knocking, trying to win over, trying to say, please, please, please don't give up on me. I promise I'll make you happy. I'm going to cancel your student loan debt. I'm going to give you whatever you want. I've got a green climate corps that's going to make sure that nobody can drive a car in the year 2035. I will do whatever you need me to do if you'll just vote for me one more time. So the protesters are now saying, we are Hamas. And now take a listen to, speaking of Hillary Vaughn, she goes around and she asks these questions to Democrats, and they wouldn't be that hard to answer if any of these people had scruples. But there's the rub. They don't have any scruples, and so they can't answer them. So Katie Porter gets asked by Hillary Vaughn if she condemns people burning American flags and chanting death to America. Again, this is like when Nikki Haley was asked about the Civil War. These trick questions, man, they just don't stop. Can I get cut 10?
Anti-Israel protesters blocking the Brooklyn Bridge burned the American flag and chanted death to America. Do you condemn this type of rhetoric?
We've got to get her onto her next event here.
Are you okay with people burning the American flag?
If you'd like to follow up with us. So.
Are you okay with people chanting death to America?
Sorry, we've got to head in.
Congresswoman Porter, are you okay with people chanting death to America? Is it okay? Do you not have a problem with it?
Happy to reach out here. Have a great day.
What I give Hillary Vaughn a lot of credit because I've only done it once. I've only approached a politician once and asked that line of questioning, and it wasn't even that aggressive. But it's, you got to be a certain kind of person, and full disclosure, it's not me. I'm a bit of a delicate flower, but you have to kind of, it's almost like jumping off a diving board or something. You just have to go into it and kind of not be in your own body for a second because it's so uncomfortable yelling at someone and them not responding. But she's very good at it. And the great part for her is no one else is doing this, and they're all giving her sound. Like, them not responding is even better. Because, I mean, in the perfect scenario, I think Rashida Tlaib really gives her everything she wants because she does respond just enough to get audio, but she doesn't answer the basic questions. But again, I would like to remind people that Donald J. Trump, Kellyanne Conway, anyone who had any association with the Trump administration was asked to condemn any sort of situation that could even be seen as racist, anti-Semitic, Islamophobic. They're constantly asked, do you denounce this person? Do you denounce David Duke? Do you condemn David Duke? What do you have to say about David Duke? And it just seems like when the shoe's on the other foot, And it's a very easy, and by the way, if you do condemn them, it's not hard. Like, people will call up here sometimes, Jared, and say, what about this? What about that? And if I don't think it's right, I'll say, yeah, I condemn it. There you go. Mark it down. I don't know what it does for you, but if that's what you need to hear, and by the way, I don't know what it does for you, but it only makes sense that if you're going to ask me to condemn everything that you see that's wrong in the world, then I should be able to do it to you too. And the Democrats are being asked to condemn very simple things. Burning American flags, chanting death to America, beheading babies. These aren't issues that I would think would require a lot of nuance or a lot of time to think about. I think the walk to the hallway is plenty of time for you to figure out where you stand on those issues. 844-500-4242. When we come back, I want to switch gears and talk a little bit about the Mayorkas impeachment precedent that was just set by the Democrats. But before I do, let me get one more thing in here, Jared. On the anti-Israel activists, the urban terrorists, as Jake Novak called them. This isn't Seattle. There's no shortage of dysfunction in Seattle. And I would say out of all of the stunts that these activists like to pull, I think blocking the highway is really where they get the most amount of joy from. Would you agree? Like, blocking the highways is where they feel that their message is getting across. And they blocked a highway. They were blocking the Seattle airport. It says anti-Israel activists were arrested Monday for blocking the freeway leading to Seattle-Tacoma International Airport. They were bailed out of jail by the Northwest Community Bail Fund. By the way, this bail fund also previously bailed out a man accused of shooting a Washington State trooper 9 times. So the Northwest Community Bail Fund continues to do such great work for the community. And because of this blocking of the highway, there were flight delays. Ari Hoffman told the, a spokesperson for the airport told Ari Hoffman that 20 to 24 flights were delayed. The majority were 20 minutes or less. The longest were 2 international flights that were delayed 90 and 77 minutes. And yeah, I would consider those. Do you think the Solicitor General and the J6 hearing would consider those meaningful disruptions? How long does an airport have to delay a flight for it to be considered a meaningful delay, a meaningful disruption in your life? 844-500-4242. We'll be right back. We'll take more of your calls. Don't go anywhere. Listen up, everyone. You've waded through the cold temps in February and the rainy weather in March, and now the longer, warmer days are finally on their way. Spring means more flowers and more sunshine, and we love that. But it also can mean allergies, and it can also mean that, you know, you're working on the lawn, you come in, you leave your shoes, you get kind of that damp, musty smell in the mudroom, or sometimes you get that in the basement. And there's a lot of room for that now that the weather's changing. But you want to keep the air pure. You want to keep the air clear. And that's how you do it, is with the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. The great part of the Thunderstorm 3-pack is you can use one in your office. If you have an office like ours where you can't open the windows, you can use one in your kitchen to eliminate kitchen smells. And you can use one in your car, which a lot of people, Jared, they don't take advantage of that, but it's a pretty cool feature.
Yeah, it's great for just any associated car smells, whether it's fast food, your kid throwing up in his car seat, hypothetically, or gasoline smells, anything like that. But it's really great for me for allergies, because when you have the windows down, pollen's going to get in the car. When you open the door to get in and out, pollen's going to get in the car. There's no way getting around it. But each Thunderstorm unit has its own USB cable, which plugs into the unit, and then it plugs right into the USB port in your car. So while you're in your car, you can ionize the air. You can get that super oxygen, and that's what's going to eliminate the allergens and pollutants and the odors in the air.
Yes, and you can get the 3-pack special. It's such a great deal. Say hello to spring and goodbye to allergens. Here's what I want you to do. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use code GRACE3. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code GRACE, and the number 3. We'll be right back.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Steely Dan, Not to be confused with Uncle Bosie and the Cannibals featuring Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. Really taking the world by storm. And Jared, I am going to let you, we're going to get back to all of this. It wasn't Joe Scarborough who called Donald Trump an animal. It was actually Mara Gay. If you don't remember Mara Gay, she made waves when she went on with Brian Williams way back when. And they had this tweet up about how Michael Bloomberg, I think she said Michael Bloomberg could give every American $1 million based off his campaign money. And then the math wasn't really mathing. And it was a bit of an embarrassment for not only Brian Williams and Mara Gay, but also for the entire staff at his show that decided to put this tweet up on the screen.
You can't let the man continue with fuzzy math.
And not correct them. So that's what she's known for. She was actually the person on Morning Joe who called Donald Trump an animal, which again, that's okay if Mara Gay says it on MSNBC. If Grace Curley said it, if you said it, if Donald Trump said it, it would be another story. Jared, I am, though, I'm a woman of my word sometimes, depending on the day. And I am feeling like you need your time in court here to defend your poll question decision. Before we get to that, let's tell people what the question is. And it's brought to you by J.J. Manning Auctioneers. Whether residential, commercial, or land, J.J. Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. Jared, what is the poll question? And then we'll get into some of the details here.
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is which Biden anecdote is more bizarre? Corn Pop and the pool chain or Uncle Bosie and the Cannibals?
I'm saying Cannibal. It's like rocks, paper, scissors here. I think Cannibal trumps all. I think it's really hard to beat.
Cannibal Trump.
When you put a cannibal in a story, it's unstoppable.
Like, that how is does tough.
How does somebody top that? But you're claiming, Jared, that you went back in the records, you checked out the archives, and that you think that Corn Pop actually stands the test of time and beats out the cannibal story.
I do. The full Corn Pop story is, like, the director's cut of the Corn Pop story. Amazing.
Give me a little taste of it, just so right, I can so see what you're talking about.
This
here.
Is...
It's been a while.
We all remember Corn Pop was a bad dude. Well, here we learn about why.
And Corn Pop was a bad dude. And he ran a bunch of bad boys. And I did. And back in those days, to show how things have changed, one of the things you had to use, if you used pomade in your hair, you had to wear a bathing cap. And so he was up on the board, wouldn't listen to me. I said, hey, Esther, you, off the board, or I'll come up and drag you off. Well, he came off, and he said, I'll meet you outside. My car, these were all public housing behind it. My car, there was a gate out here. I parked my car outside the gate, and he said, I'll be waiting for you. He was waiting for three guys in straight razors. Not a joke. There was a guy named Bill Wright, Mouse, the only white guy, and he did all the pools. He was the mechanic. And I said, what am I going to do? He said, come down here in the basement where mechanics, where all the pool filter is. You know, the chain, there used to be a chain that went across the deep end. And he cut off a 6-foot length of chain. He folded up. He said, you walk out with that chain. And you walk to the car and say, you may cut me, man, but I'm going to wrap this chain around your head. I said, you kidding me? He said, no, if you don't come back. And he was right. So I walked out with the chain. And I walked up to my car. And they had stepped in those days. You used to remember the straight razor. You'd bang them on the curb, get them rusty, put them in a rain barrel, get them rusty. And I looked at him, but I was smart then. I said, first of all, I said, when I tell you get off the board, you get off the board, and I'll kick you out again. But I shouldn't have called you, Esther Williams. I apologize for that. I apologize, but I didn't know that apology was going to work. He said, you apologize to me? I said, I apologize for that. Not for throwing you out, but I apologize for what I said. He said, okay, close the straight razor, and my heart began to beat again.
This is all happening at the community pool. Like, do I have that right?
Yes.
This is all happening when people are trying to swim. Do you think people were swimming in between this, like going back and forth?
At this point,
I say to my child, hey, get out of the pool. He's got a straight razor. Like, it's getting a little dicey.
82%
here.
Say Uncle Bosie and the Cannibals. Only 18% for Corn Pop and the pool chain. But hey, that may change as the day goes on.
don't know. I mean, is anyone playing sharks and minnows? Like, what is this? We'll be right back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Come back, and he was right. So I walked out with the chain, and I walked up to my car, and they had, in those days, you used to remember the straight razor, you'd bang them on the curb, get them rusty, put them in a rain barrel, get them rusty. And I looked at them, but I was smart then. I said, first of all, I said, when I tell you get off the board, you get off the board, and I'll kick you out again, but I shouldn't have called you, Esther Williams. I apologize for that.
Mister, can you move over? I'm just trying to go off the diving board. You know what, Jared?
Sir, this is a Wendy's.
Jared, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you. The cannibal comment is crazy, but the fact that that's the Corn Pop story and that doesn't even go into the kids rubbing his legs.
That was from the same, I learned about roaches, the kids would rub my hairy legs in the pool press conference.
He's getting into this.
This is when like, he was sharp, too.
He's getting into this fight that involves like razors and what was the other thing? Pool chains. And he's hitting the pool chain off the ground. And then the next day he's coming in having all these kids rub his legs. These people at the pool must have been thinking, who is this crazy white man? And why is he insistent on showing up here and causing such a ruckus? Why can't we just enjoy the pool for...
Corn Pop was a bad dude.
Can we get 1 hour of enjoying the pool without this weird white guy showing up and really just putting a... He's like a turd in a punch bowl, Joe Biden. He's just...
Can I speak to the club manager, please?
He's a real Debbie Downer here. Bringing everybody down. I would like to also mention that Dr. Jill... I was just thinking about this because when he tells stories...
Nana!
Like the Corn Pop story, like the Valentine's Day stories, all the weird stories, any stories involving kids with him, it always gets weird. I have to imagine that as his wife, she says to him afterwards, hey, lose that story, okay? You know the story you told about the roaches and the kids in the pool? Don't go with that anymore. It clearly doesn't work. He clearly does not heed her advice because there's no wife on planet Earth who would ever say like, oh yeah, you say whatever stories you want. That's a common thing. You go to a dinner party, you know, your spouse says something, you get behind closed doors, you go, hey, by the way, enough of that. You know, that embarrassed me. Or, you know, we've all had a conversation like that. I can't imagine that she's not drilling into his head behind the scenes. Hey, stop talking about this stuff. And here's the only thing I'm going to say, and then we'll move on. As far as the cannibal story goes, it's strange that it took him this long to get to it. It's strange that it took him this long to bring that out of the back of his brain. Not that it actually ever happened, but just that this is the first time we're seeing him have a little fun with this story. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that we're going to hear a lot more about the cannibals leading up to November. And here's why. Joe Biden does this weird thing where when the things that he gets the most fact-checked on, and I'll give you an example, traveling with Xi Jinping for 6 billion miles, however many miles, 17,000 miles. He's been fact-checked on that so many times by the Washington Post of all places. He's gotten Pinocchio's on it. When there's stories that are easily debunked, the story about the fire, his home had a fire, and he says, like, oh, it was such a big fire.
I almost lost my Corvette, man.
And the actual story is, it was a kitchen fire. It was put out in 5 minutes. The stories that the more people come out and say that is a lie, and they might not say that, NBC, you know, mischaracterized, but the more hoopla there is over one of his lies, over one of these tall tales, the more pig-headed and defiant he gets about trotting it out. Have you noticed that? The more he'll come out and say, like, you think you can tell me I can't tell that story? For real. It's his way of saying, no joke. If you're going to question him, no joke, he's going to come out and tell that story every flipping chance he gets. And his aides know it. His handlers know. Now that they're telling him it didn't happen, about Uncle Bozy getting eaten by the cannibal, this old man is not going down without a fight. He is going to tell that story every chance he gets. So that would be a good poll question at some point. How many more times, because sometimes if Joe Biden goes to like the derailment of the train in East Palestine, we would do a poll question. How many times is he going to bring up Amtrak Joe and how many miles?
I'm a train guy.
And it's, you know, you place your bets.
So I lost my train of thought.
I'm curious, how many times do people think, and maybe we'll do this tomorrow for a poll question, how many times between now and it starts, the clock starts now. You don't get to count the other two. Clock starts now. How many times between now and Election Day are we going to hear the word cannibal come out of Joe Biden's mouth? Over under on three, Jared, what do you say?
Oh, I'd say over.
I think so too. I think we're talking at least four or five. All right, I want to go to something quickly here that I liked. It was very short, very easy to understand, but this was from the Wall Street Journal, the Mayorkas impeachment precedent. So if you missed this yesterday, Senate Democrats are now refusing to hold even a token trial on House articles of impeachment. And let me read you a little bit of this, and then we can discuss. The Senate voted on party lines Wednesday to summarily dispose of the two impeachment articles passed by the House against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, which is one more step in defining down the constitutional power of impeachment. Republicans will return the disfavor possibly sooner than Democrats expect. This reminds me of when Democrats were doing away with the nuclear option and McConnell warned Harry Reid, you'll regret this and you may regret this sooner than you think. And it ended up being a lot sooner than they thought. It's the same thing. It's like, you guys, okay, so now we've set this precedent where you don't actually have to hold a trial for the House articles of impeachment. And next time you guys have impeachments, which, by the way, you do tend to really enjoy these impeachments. Like, I would say if I had to decide which party right now is more impeachment crazy, I would argue the left has that one covered. They impeached Trump twice in one term. Actually, I think one of the impeachments was after. It was after he was already not president. So these people are impeachment crazy. To validate this gross abuse by the House, this is Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, would be a grave mistake and could set a dangerous precedent for the future. Yeah, right. We wouldn't want a political party to make a mockery out of impeachments, right, Chuck? With custom gold pens and dramatic processions across the Capitol, and mob parodies of phone call transcripts by serial liars like Adam Schiff, it would be a real shame if impeachments lost their integrity. I agree with you on that, Chucky. I think you're right. I think this is the right move. How insane does it get? 844-500-4242. Now, speaking of Alejandro Mayorkas, he was asked a great question by Senator Josh Hawley. Take a listen. He's asked if he knows Travis Wolf, victim of an illegal alien, 12 years old. This is Cut 14.
Travis Wolf. Do you know that name?
Not off the top of my head.
Travis Wolf is a 12-year-old boy from Missouri. This is him. Travis was killed on December 20th, 2023, or I should say he was in a tragic attack on that night. He died some weeks later, head-on collision. The person driving the vehicle, who's now been charged with six criminal counts, is Indrina Bracco. Do you know who that is?
I do not, but let me communicate that I know that all of our hearts break for the family of this young boy who died in that accident.
Well, she's an illegal migrant here from Venezuela. Local law enforcement tell me that she was detained briefly at the border in 2023 and then released. And then she commits this crime. Multiple people have been stabbed in O'Fallon, Missouri by illegal migrants. Mr. Secretary, I know that you think your policies are a success. You sat right there in that chair and you've told me over and over our policies are working. You're on the record years and years saying that. Maybe they're working for you. Maybe they're working for your political objectives, whatever they may be. I don't know. But they're not working for Lake and Riley or Travis Wolf or the people of my state.
Did you notice he called that woman an illegal migrant? I hope Mayorkas is going to put out a statement about that soon, because that can't stand. That's the real tragedy here, right? Is that what we learned? The real tragedy is if you call anyone an illegal. But Mayorkas wants to sit there and say, I know all our hearts break for the families. Well, your heart doesn't break enough to do a damn thing about it. Your heart doesn't break enough to do anything differently, to acknowledge the crisis. His heart, you know how little his heart breaks for those people? He refused to acknowledge this crisis until Biden gave him the okay, until they all changed their narrative. And only then, when they acknowledged the crisis, was it because they could say, but it's Donald Trump's fault. Like, they had no interest in actually admitting the reality of what was going on our border for the last 4 years. It's only when old Joe said, all right, you know, I give up. You can acknowledge that it's there, but you got to blame it on Hitler pig Donald Trump.
And I know, realistically, Ellen, that is really the
I try to say with a straight face. Nicknames. It's ridiculous. Hitler pig Donald Trump.
I realize, you know, in reality, Alejandro Mayorkas cannot keep track of every crime. Every,
yes.
Like, I get that. But if you're going into a hearing like this, I mean, that's devastating that you don't know anything about a 12-year-old boy in this. Like, that's just devastating audio if you're Alejandro Mayorkas. And fully understanding, like, there's a lot going on. You can't understand everything. But you got to be prepared for that at least. Kind of look up, have somebody investigate how many deaths, whether you want to hide them or not, at least have knowledge of these people. So when somebody pulls something like that, you can at least look like you're interested in solving the problem that you say you're interested in solving.
Yeah, but that's a common theme with everyone in this administration. And
they just
everyone,
don't care.
They don't do any prep work. You know, I think the person who does the most prep work is Kamala Harris when she's on the planes. She's just constantly... Venn diagram, crossover, who's in the crossover section. Besides that, though, everyone kind of comes in. And we see it with Senator John Kennedy when he's interviewing people. But you know what's also disturbing is, yeah, they're having these impeachment proceedings for Mayorkas. They're going to grandstand and ask him questions. He's not going to know the answer. I'll talk about it on the show. But when it comes to actually passing anything, using the leverage of Ukraine, which the Democrats are insistent, and really a lot of Republicans too are insistent we continue to fund this war, well, at least use the leverage we have and use it to get some funding for the border. Use it to do something about the border. But Republicans will not do that. Republicans will give that up. And I do go back to what Chris Bedford said. If you missed it, re-listen to that podcast. We're kind of like, we're fighting based off policies, and we're fighting based off principles, and we're fighting based off all these things. And the left is fighting, the left has a lot of zealots. Like, they're fighting as more of a religious battle than anything else. Like, they truly, truly, truly want to undo the country, and they're determined and they're motivated. And I was thinking about this the other day, like, when you talk about activist bases and parties, whether you're talking about pro-life activists in the Republican Party or you're talking about the urban terrorist activists in the Democrat Party, you can say what you want. You can disagree with what they're fighting for, but you don't ever doubt the commitment. You don't ever doubt the sincerity of the motivation. And I just think that the left right now, especially the people in power, like the Democrat senators, the Democrat Congress people, who are even loonier than the senators, they really believe this stuff. You know, they're not phonies. And I think the Republicans have a lot more turncoats. I think the Republicans have a lot of people, like Chris Bedford said, who show up, they think it's a dignified thing to do. I'll work in politics for a little bit. I'll make my mark. Then I'll go back to my job. It's private business. We're outmatched here. Do you know? Do you get what I'm saying? It's like we're coming into this with a level of, not stupidity, but we're naive. We think that other people are going to compromise with us or are going to, like, the left doesn't do that. And this fear of, well, if I don't fund this or I don't fund that, then we're going to get blamed for this person dying. We're going to get blamed for everything all the time, no matter what. So you got to take a stand and you've got to learn how to fight a little bit, because Democrats know what they're doing. They're not bad at this. For as crazy as they are and as insane as they are and how much they've ruined this country thus far in the last 4 years, strategy-wise, they outdo us every time. Every day and twice on Sunday, they have us beat as far as political strategy. And we got to work on that. By the way, speaking of illegal immigration, during a Tuesday city council meeting in New York City, African migrants complained about the food they were given and having to leave the city accommodations after a set period. One woman said that during Ramadan, a period where observers can't eat until sundown, we couldn't eat because when you came back for the breaks, the food is no good at all. And they gave us 2 months to stay at the shelter. And then you have to go out again with your luggage and your kids and find another place. It's very difficult. She also complained that her older child, 18 or 19 years of age, doesn't have schooling. Well, I hope that Eric Adams and the city of New York can figure this out. They've got some unhappy customers right now. We'll be right back. We're going to talk to the captain. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. Thank you all so much for joining us today. I hope you guys had fun. I know I did. And, you know, Thursday's wrapping up. We'll be heading into Friday tomorrow. But joining us before then is Howie Carr. And Howie, I was just scrolling social media, and the Kennedy family has come out in support of Joe Biden. They really want to make it known that they are not supporting RFK Jr. Do you think this helps or hurts RFK Jr.? Do you think he's saddened or gladdened that his family is not backing him?
Well, I mean, he's, you know, he's already broken with them on Sirhan. And, you know, he's had some problems. I don't think this is like, does anyone care? I mean, how many of the Kennedys are on the payroll? He was in here briefly, got here late a couple of weeks ago. I didn't have a chance to ask him, but I think Joe, he's the special envoy to Northern Ireland. Caroline Kennedy, I think, is the ambassador to Japan. I think there may be a third one on the payroll. Maybe Joe's brother, his twin brother, the black-haired one.
Yeah, and also, Howie, I think when the Kennedys are coming out and they're trying to kind of give you a knock or disparage you and lift up the other candidate, like they have some sort of moral compass, I think it just makes you look better. Like, if you're the black sheep of that family, that's probably a good thing. If you're not like everybody else in that family, I mean, you know from your books, there's plenty there that they shouldn't be proud of. They shouldn't really be lecturing RFK Jr. on, you know, everything he's done wrong.
Right. And you know, and as you, if you know, if you read Kennedy Babylon, Volume 2 especially, I mean, he was one of the premier reprobates in the family, in a family of premier reprobates, you know? But now they've turned on him, and I don't know. I think he's doing okay. I think he's doing pretty well, and this is certainly not going to hurt him at all.
Yes,
not on a day when the White House is having to when there's a headline saying a president was wrong about cannibals, his
Howie,
uncle being
Howie,
eaten by cannibals.
He got some of the details wrong. Okay, he shaved off the truth a little bit, but I wouldn't say that he was lying. It was just a misunderstanding, a miscommunication. By the way, the car crossover is brought to you by the Cape Gunworks membership that you can get for half off if you go to gracecurlyshow.com and click on store. $500 membership for just $250. Go there now. I'll see you all tomorrow.